Masse, Sicha number 1, volume 13, Rabbi Yossi Serebransky in Denver, Colorado, speaking. So my hope at the end of this Sicha is that we can look at our learning and our davening and our relationship with Hashem and understand it on the multiple levels that are happening simultaneously to us. So a quick introduction. The land of Eretz Yisrael and the Torah are both transferred from Hashem to the Jews. By understanding the process of transfer of the Torah, we will gain an insight into how the land of Israel was divided. And this will explain some glaring oddities about the division of the land. Specifically, there seems to be a redundancy in how the land was divided. On the one hand, the Torah says, to he who has much, many people, more shall be given. And then we have this idea of a goyral, of a lot, that we throw a lot, which in general in Hasidus it explains that whenever you come to the level of lots, drawing lots, such as on Yom Kippur with the two goats, or Purim, it is on a level that is super rational. So seemingly a logical, rational, demographic division of the land seems to be in contradiction with a lottery which is super rational. And these ideas will be clarified in this Sicha. So the Sicha begins that concerning the division of the land that was first taught in Parshas Pinchas, we find opposites. That on the one hand, the Torah says clearly, "Larav tarbe nachalasoi v'lamait v'lamaat tamait nachalasoi." That to the one who has more, give more; the one who has less, give less. And there is also a teaching of Chazal that the land wasn't divided just on geographical square feet, but rather the quality of the land was also taken into consideration. The people that got land of better quality received less acreage than the people that had inferior land. That it should all work out, that everyone had an equal amount, that if you were to put their piece of land onto the market, each person would receive the same amount for their land. On the other hand, we're commanded by the Torah in our Parsha that it must be done through a lottery. That ach begoral yechalek haaretz, but through the lottery shall you divide the land. Another idea is, an oddity we find, even with the lottery, it says that Elazar the high priest, because we're dealing here after Aaron a Kohen had passed and Elazar had filled his shoes, he would stand with Ruach HaKodesh and using the Urim V'Tumim, and he would say, the lottery, if the name of this tribe comes up, this will be its boundaries. And that is what happened in the lotteries. And there's even a midrash that the lottery itself screamed out. So if that is the case, that Elazar the priest is using the Urim V'Tumim and announcing what will happen, why do we need the goral? Why do we need the whole lottery? Now, regarding the lottery itself, it says, command the Jewish people, Tzavis B'nai Yisrael, v'amarta aleihem, and tell them that these are the boundaries. And it says, Lahazir Beis Din al kach shlo yotziu laz al hagoyrolos. This is a warning to the Beis Din that they can't make fun of the lotteries. Now, there's a Tshuvas HaGaonim, and this is what we're going to look at in this week's Sicha, that describes how severe the idea of making fun of the lottery is. And again, why would you make fun of the lottery? Because we did a rational idea. We divided it rationally. Why do we need to get onto this? That somebody who challenges the goyro, ha'oiver al ha'goyro, ka'oiver al ha'seres ha'dibros. This is like somebody who has violated the Ten Commandments. So the question is, what is the connection that you say that if you challenge the authenticity of the goyro, that you're challenging the authenticity of the aseres hadibros? It seems to be a non sequitur. It doesn't belong one with the other. You went against a mitzvah. You violated a mitzvah. Hashem said, make a goyro. You make fun of the goyro. You're making fun of a mitzvah. You want to make fun of the lulav and esrog? Make fun of the lulav and esrog. Why is it a violation of the Ten Commandments? So this is going to allow the Rebbe to introduce the concept of Torah and how Torah is transmitted. And what we're going to do is look at the way Torah is transmitted, look at the way real estate is transmitted, find what is the connection between the transmission of the Torah to the transmission of the land of Israel, which is a real estate transaction, and then we will return to understand why it's a violation of the Ten Commandments. So in the second Sa'if, the Rebbe now takes apart that we find three distinct characteristics that Torah is transmitted to the Jewish people. One is it's an inheritance. As we say, the Torah was given to us by Moshe as an inheritance. One, it is considered a sale. That Torah, Hashem says to the Jews, I've sold you my Torah. And there's a third level, which is gifting. As we say, three gifts God gave to the Jewish people, and Torah is one of them. And in fact, the holiday of Shavuos is known as the holiday Zman Matan Torah Seinu. It is the holiday of gifting the Torah to us. So to understand these three things, let's look at them in a material transfer of property. Inheritance. It does not make any difference who inherits the estate and what their status is. They can be a homeless person under a bridge. They can be a child who is born. As it says in the Talmud, a child of one day, not only can he inherit, but also people inherit him. And it doesn't matter what their mental competency is. Transfer of property by sale is a transfer that you must give compensation of the value of the land. Now, the similarity that these two people have, somebody who inherits and somebody who buys, they have an inherent connection to the land. The person who inherits is in the Lucky Inheritors Club, that he is a blood relative of the person who has passed. Similarly, somebody who buys something has to pay full value in return. There's an exchange of money for land. Now, when it comes to gifting, it could be that the person receiving to the gift has no connection to the gift being received, and it is simply the benevolence of the gifter. Now, we'll go into nuances a little later. Similarly, going on to the third Sa'if, the Torah has three areas. One is that Torah is our inheritance. That by virtue that we are born, we have a connection to Torah. As it says, that Yisrael is an acronym for Yeshishim Ribui Osios LaTorah. That every single Jew has, in a spiritual sense, a letter in the Sefer Torah that part of the Torah inherently belongs to them. And that is why there is an obligation on all Jews in all circumstances that a Jew has to study Torah. Because there is no Jew in the world that doesn't have an inherent connection to Torah by virtue that they breathe. Now there is a concept of purchasing Torah. Now what is the concept of purchasing Torah? Depending on the effort, the sweat equity you put in, to the best of your ability, you will receive that amount of knowledge in Torah. As the Chachomim tell us in Pirkei Avos, prepare yourself for the study of Torah, for it is not an inheritance to you, of yours. You have to train yourself to appreciate Torah, and the more you train yourself to in knowledge of Torah and in appreciation of Torah, your portion of Torah grows directly in a proportion to that. And since there is a difference in people, in our IQ levels, in our predisposition of how we were raised, is Hebrew our first language? Do we speak Yiddish as a first language? Did we grow up in the tradition? Therefore, we also find another fascinating thing. That let's say a person has to work for a living. Their obligation is to study once in the morning, once in the evening. But somebody who has spare time has an obligation to study all day. So on this level of buying, it depends on your resources both in your IQ and your availability of time, as to how much you need to invest to own Torah. Then there is a level of Torah which is a gift. Now this idea that there is a gift is nothing that you can do as a human being to understand Torah will help you get Torah on the level that God's wisdom as God understands it. And we find a beautiful teaching of the Midrash from the Chachomim that says as follows. The Gemara, I think it is the Gemara in, a moment, the Gemara teaches that Moshe, when he was being taught the Torah by God, he would learn the Torah and he would forget the Torah, till God gave him the Torah as a gift. That even Moshe Rabbeinu, who was taught Torah by Hashem himself, for it to become so ingrained in him that there's no such concept of forgetting Torah, that is a gift. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is a limited human being, and by virtue of being limited, his knowledge of Torah is limited. So there is a concept of forgetfulness. And this idea of this gift on that level that we receive is also the concept of goyral, of lottery. That lottery doesn't depend on who is going to win. It depends on the giver, so to say. The lottery decides who wins. And that is the concept that may Hashem yipol hagoral. It says in the verse that the lottery is God's way of manifesting himself. That this is an idea that higher than anything we can earn, that's what we get. Nevertheless, we're now going to go nuance in Ois number 4. We're going to be make it nuanced that even in a gift, it is very rare for a gift to be given randomly, that you somebody throws $100,000 out the window at a homeless tramp they've never met. The Gemara says that often there is a relationship between the giver of the gift and the recipient of the gift, even if it's disproportional, and it is because the giver of the gift or the recipient of the gift has done and has established this relationship and has developed this donor, so to say, that they get sometimes a gift which is more than they could have expected. But there has to be something in it for the giver. In the Shailos HaTshuvos Chavos Yoer, it brings this parable of the Goyro, that if a person prepares themselves for the Goyro, the Hashkocha Elyona will enclose itself into the Goyro, into the lottery, and since you prepared yourself, you prepare yourself to receive the message from Hashem, and then the lottery will turn out to be the will of Hashem. Now, in a certain sense, this highest level of Torah is we do something pleasurable to God by exerting our energy to learn to the best of our ability. We then merit that God, so to say, reveals a level of Torah to us because we've pleasured Him through our effort, which we could not achieve on our own. Now, going back to the parentheses which I left out, the Rebbe goes into a sidebar to discuss the concept of Yogati Umotsosi Tamin. I struggled, I found, I believe you. That this idea, Umotsosi, that you achieve a level which is Mitzia, it's like a found object, the Rebbe says this is not the idea of Goyro. This is an idea that through your efforts, there's a direct correlation of your efforts to the high levels you achieve. When we talk about the level of lottery, of Goyro, we're talking about a level that is higher than anything you on your own could have achieved. Now that we have this format on the table, in the Ois 5, the Rebbe talks about this idea that we can use this template to understand. We say every day, Yirotza mufanecha Hashem Elokeinu v'lakei aviseinu, shiyabon ebeis hamikdosh mehera v'yomeinu, v'esein chalkeinu b'soyrosecho. May it be your will, Hashem, our God and God of our fathers, that you rebuild the temple in our days and put our portion in your Torah. So, there's something a bit odd about that. Why do we need the temple rebuilt? You sit and learn Torah, and then that is achievable. And then, why do we say our portion in your Torah? We should ask Hashem, give us a portion in Torah. Give us a chelek. And the idea is that what we're asking in this prayer is not that Hashem should give us things we can achieve on our own. We're asking for the Torah Secha, the level of matona, of gift, which we cannot achieve through our doing on our own. Nevertheless, through this, that we prepare ourselves, for that gift by doing pleasurable things to Hashem. Therefore, we say chelkeinu, that we have some type of a portion, and besoira secha, in your Torah, which is higher than we can achieve. And this is the concept of the gift, which is reciprocal on a certain level, even though it is there isn't a direct correlation like a purchase, which is an even exchange. And this is similar to what we mentioned before, that Moshe Rabbeinu would forget the Torah and then Hashem gifted it to him, because it says in the verse, Ein shikha lefnei kisei kavodecha, there is no forgetfulness before you, God. And when will this be revealed for all of us, this level of Torah, is with the coming of Mashiach. So we pray that the Beis HaMikdash be rebuilt in our days and the Mashiach come and we get this higher level. In the sixth ois of this sicha, the Rebbe takes this template and of inheritance and purchase of Torah and the level of gifting, and says, now let's re-examine the giving of a Torah using this prism and this continuum, because all three are true in our relationship to Torah. On the one hand, the Chachamim tell us that Torah tzivalonu Moshe, Torah has a numerical value of 611. Because the first two commandments, Anochi, which is 2, 12 and 6, Anochi velo yilecha, we as Jews heard this from God, that the rest of the mitzvahs, the other 611, were given to us through Moshe Rabbeinu. But we heard it from God. What is a reason for this? We need to study Torah, and the Torah has to be relevant to us. Therefore, Moshe has to give it to us, that we have to understand the Torah in a logical way. But the first two mitzvahs of the Torah, I am the Lord your God and you shall not have another God, which is the concept of receiving the yoke of heaven and belief in God, this is higher than the rational mind. And it's a gift. People who feel innately a relationship with Hashem, they are gifted people. Therefore, the first two of the Aseres HaDibros, God did not use the intermediary of Moshe Rabbeinu to teach them to us, but we hear them from the Gevura, from the strength. That's the name we gave God on that. And that is why we refer to Shavuos as Matan Torah, because that aspect of Torah, the relationship aspect that we have with God, is a gift. And yes, it's true that we said Na'aseh v'nishma, that we will do and we will listen. So this is what the created person can do to make themselves nullify their will for God's will. Nevertheless, what God reciprocated, that God came down on Mount Sinai to gift us the Torah, saying two words, Na'aseh v'nishma, it's not cause and effect. It is enough of a causation that there's a relationship, but the gift we received is not, it doesn't compute and is not the same as the effort we put in. Now, what about the other eight Dibros? That even though they are, even though they're rational mitzvahs, nevertheless, they also have a connection, as we are going to now go deeper and nuanced in this issue. Now, this idea that we only heard the first two Aseres HaDibros is not agreed upon by all commentaries. The Ramban most famously says that we heard all the Ten Commandments from God. It's just the first two we understood, and the rest we just heard a voice. And we couldn't decipher what they were, and Moshe Rabbeinu had to reteach us what they were. So the question, obvious question is, Hashem is not some annoying child that just makes noise to upset you. What was achieved by Hashem speaking in a way that we could not comprehend it? And why is it that we did understand the first two commandments and suddenly the other eight commandments, we just hear a voice, but we can't decipher it? So explaining this as follows. The first two commandments, which draw into us the faith and the accepting the yoke of heaven as a gift from above, therefore we could hear those without the intermediary of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because it sets up the person to want to be in a relationship with Torah. The other eight mitzvahs, we need to do not just because it's the law, but it's part of our relationship with Hashem. So we, even though we need to hear it from Moshe because they have to be understood the way we can understand, and Moshe is the great communicator, nevertheless, any time we're involved in learning and davening and other relationships with God, this has to be through the prism of emuna in Hashem and Kabbalah Sar. And therefore, it was important for us that we hear the other eight commandments, which the other eight commandments include within them all the 211 mitzvot are part of the Aseret Dibros, as explained in other places. Now, tying it back into our sicha, we had questioned why they compared scoffing at a goral to violating the Ten Commandments. So the Rebbe suggests that this idea that we've just mentioned, that there is a communication from Hashem that is higher than our receptors can receive, but nevertheless, it's important for us to hear that noise, that voice. This is a concept of goyral, higher than the logic and rational self. And therefore, if a person scoffs at a goyral that was done properly, a lottery that was done properly, under the guidance of Torah, you're scoffing at the highest level of Torah, which is super rational. You're not just violating a commandment or making fun of Hashem, that you've tapped into denying that highest level. Now, we're going to take this all back and talk about the land itself. Why did we need this redundancy of doing an intense division of the land based on the quality and the quantity of the land, plus the quantity of each individual family, according to some verses? Because the relationship between the land of Israel and the Jew is similar to the relationship of the Torah and the Jew. It is a gift and a transfer of God's land to us, just as there is a transfer of God's Torah to us. The land of Israel is most famous for what the Pasuk says, the eyes of God are on Eretz Israel from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. There is a special Kedusha that shines in the land of Israel that we can tap into because Hashem is there. As it says, it doesn't bring it down here, but there is a concept that one who goes to Chutz Laaretz, it's like passively doing Avodah Zarah because the revelation of Hashem is not there. Now, this idea that God's presence should shine on the material world is higher than anything that we as humans could possibly achieve through our work. And that is why it says three gifts, and one of the gifts is Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, we find that when they divided the land, you had to divide the land on a rational level, but then you also had to divide the land, and bring the energy in the land of the super rational. And how was that done? That was done through the Goyral. And the Goyral exactly matched the rational division of the land. And that wasn't miraculous that it exactly matched the rational division of the land, because it's the same division on a higher level. The revelation from Hashem. This is the Sicha, and now if you bear with me, I will have a takeaway. The takeaway is we, on a daily basis, strive to connect to Hashem. And the way we, most of us, do it is through daily davening and learning. And there are some days that are not as good as other days. There are some days that we say, what connection do I have with Torah? What connection do I have? The answer is, Hashem gave it to us. It's an inheritance. You woke up in the morning, you didn't earn Torah. You've done nothing yet for Torah. Torah is yours. In a similar sense, we say, what's our relationship with the Rebbe, which we know that the tzaddik, the energy flows through the tzaddikim to us. What relationship do we have? So the first thing is we have to know is by virtue that we're born, we have a connection to Torah. Then there is a second thing that we have to do, which is buy Torah. How do we buy Torah? How do we purchase Torah? Sweat equity. What we put in is what we're going to get out, in direct proportion to each other, and even more so. But then there is the highest gift, which is when we're firing on all cylinders, we can receive the gift of Torah, which is once in a while, our davening and our learning, we feel that magic that comes through us, which our learning and davening couldn't invest in that. You have that feeling of oneness with Hashem at that moment. That is the highest level. That is the level of Goyral. This is the level of a gift from Hashem. May we all merit that through our study of Torah and through our davening, that we merit the coming of the Mashiach, and then this highest level will be an everyday constant occurrence in our life. Thank you for listening.